I have good news and I have bad news. We've all heard this before, wondering which news it's better to hear first. Jesus had words for seven churches in the early chapters of the book of Revelation. For the first church, his message was a mix of good and bad. He gave the good news first, but then expressed his judgment on a matter he felt was crucial. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Irwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Irwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 as we see Jesus both commending and then complaining about the church at Ephesus.
We are living in a day of huge deception, and I want to take my hat off to the church at Ephesus who discerned false prophets and who called them liars, because they're out there. And have you ever noticed, by the way, that their crowds are largely poor people? Because these people are saying, if I only had the faith of my guru, if I only had the same kind of great faith to speak myself rich. I mean, I've heard people say, speak to your wallet and say, be thou filled. I tried that and I opened it and it was full of air. Let's commend this church. They discerned false prophets, they nailed them, and they said, you are a liar. Praise God for their doctrine. So here you have a church that is busy, that is doctrinally sound, the kind that every pastor wants to be the pastor of, and I might say, duplicates Moody Church. Now, let's go on. The text says, but, whenever you see that word, you have to ask yourself, uh-oh, ouch, but, verse 4, word of commendation now turns to a word of complaint. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Wow. You're doing it without love. I commend you for what you're doing, but where is the love? When the church got started, there was this enthusiasm, there was this sense of commitment to Jesus, this reckless abandonment in giving. People gave generously, they witnessed, and they were a united community, and how important that is to have a strong church. You can't have a church without community, and that's what the church of Ephesus had. But now, again, you're thinking of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, a letter that was written to the church. He prayed for them, that your love may abound yet more and more, that you might know the height, the depth of the love of Christ, he said. And now 30 or 40 years have passed, and we're talking second generation Christians. We're talking children whose parents were on fire for God, but they themselves have not picked up the same zeal. So their love had grown cold and indifferent. Still busy, still doctrinally sound, still active, but without the passion and love for Jesus. Now, what is it that makes us lose our first love? Maybe not lose it, but at least move away from it. You have abandoned. That's what my text says. You have abandoned your first love. What makes us do that? The Old Testament, God says regarding Israel, he says, I have chosen you as my bride. He says, I have loved you. I'm your husband, but you've gone after other gods. What will most assuredly ruin a marriage? And that is to find another lover. Someone else who steals your affection, someone else who draws your soul away from the person whom you are committed to. And that's what happens. James says in his book, he says, you adulterers and you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? And there you have it, other lovers. Jesus put it this way in one of his parables. He says that the seed is sown, and that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, there's a phrase that I need to preach a message on. The deceitfulness of riches. It chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there you have it. Nobody ever wakes up in the morning and says, today I'm going to move away from my love for Jesus. Nobody ever says that. It drifts, drifting. Like when my wife and I were on a ship, we were talking to some people out on the deck, and it was only later that we looked back to shore and realized that we'd already gone perhaps a mile. You don't notice it. And you don't notice what happens in your life. The coldness sets in, the rationalizations set in, and before you know it, the fervency of your love is gone. So you're still doing it. You're still into theology, you're still into service, you're still active, but the passion for Jesus has drained. Now it's just a chore, it's just work and no delight. Wow. Well, we've looked at the compliment Jesus paid them, and then he gives them, of course, this complaint. You're hurting me because you don't love me like you should. And now a command, very directly. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from when you've fallen. Just take out time and remember. I remember when I was converted and how the next day it seemed as if I could do anything. I said to myself, and I still remember this clearly, walking into my father's garage and saying, I know God. There was this great sense of a fervency. You know, a friend of mine and I, we were so enthusiastic for Jesus that in high school we used to hitchhike. Now, you can't hitchhike nowadays, but we used to do it. And we'd go to a town of about 16 people, and we'd take with us thousands of tracts. Some of these were not very attractive. They were printed on cheap paper. And we'd go to a fair, and we'd give them out as the people were leaving, giving out thousands. That's where I learned to preach. I remember out on the street corner, we'd have people hassle us, and we'd be out there, you know, because really, the love for Jesus was all that mattered. You know, I look back now and I say, wow, I was pretty fervent back then. I hope I haven't lost it, but there's a good chance that I'm moving away from it if I don't repent, as the Bible's going to tell me in just a moment. What was it like when you received Christ as Savior? When just coming to church and coming to prayer meeting and reading God's Word was just your appetite. Now it's gone. Remember from whence you are fallen. And then Jesus said, repent. Now, as I contemplated this, it dawned on me that we would never be asked to repent from something unless it was a sin. So as you look into your heart today, as I look into my heart today, and if there is coldness and indifference, it isn't just something that you need to live with or you need to adjust to. According to the Scriptures, it is a sin that demands your repentance. Repent. That is sin. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, my heart is cold, but I have no idea what it could possibly be. Well, I have frequently taken advice from one pastor who said that he had a parishioner come up and say, oh, you know, my heart is so cold, I'm far from God, but I have no idea what it could be. He said, get on your knees and guess at it. Just guess at it. Last night I spent perhaps 10 or 15 minutes in quietness before the Lord, just saying, all right, Lord, what's in here that I need to confess? Because I'm not loving Jesus as fervently as I should. And I was amazed at what the Holy Spirit pointed out that I needed to confess and to repent of. Give God 5 minutes, give Him 10 minutes, and you will discover why the love has drained and why the passion is gone, perhaps because of bitterness, perhaps because of an addiction, perhaps of whatever. Perhaps because of self-will, which I see in my heart. Repent. That means change your mind. Call it sin. Don't call it a weakness. Don't blame your schedule. Just say, I'm sinning here. My fervency and love for Jesus is gone. So the text says, remember, repent, and then it says, do the first works. That's what the text says here, as it is before you. It says, and do the works you did at first. Now, the order here is very important. You don't get your love back by doing the works that you did at first, simply by beginning to pray, beginning to read the Bible. That's part of the things that you'll have to do. But you have to repent first. Because, you see, the love of God is not something that can simply be worked up. It is really a gift. Whom having not seen, ye love, the Scripture says. In fact, a parenthesis, if you do not love Jesus at all, it is almost certain that you have never received Him as your Savior. I'm not talking just about the fact that you admire Him. We've got people all over who admire Jesus. But do they love Him? It's a mark of the new birth that we would actually love someone whom we've never seen. And yet the text says that's exactly what God implants in our hearts when we are born of the Spirit. And we can move from that love, but it's been planted there by God. And then you do the works that you did at first. And then he says, and if you don't, he says, I will remove your candlestick from its place, your lampstand. This is very serious stuff. Recent years I've been studying why it is that the church was stamped out in North Africa because of Islam. At some point, when I have more time to study it out more directly, I'm trying to find answers for that. Incidentally, all seven of these churches are in Turkey today, and there is no church essentially in any of these places. What happened historically is when this church received this letter, apparently they had a revival. And you can understand why. I mean, if Jesus wrote a letter to Moody Church, and I were to say, this is from Jesus, and this is what he said, we would take it so seriously that we would repent. I am sure that we would. And apparently they had a revival. But as time went on and as the centuries progressed, having left and abandoned their first love, they faded into oblivion, and you can go to Ephesus today where there is no church. This is Pastor Lutzer. I think too often because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to shield us from the eternal wrath of God, I think that because of that we forget the fact that God is to be feared. We say to ourselves that in this particular age, sin has no great consequences. It's safe to sin. Will you reread again this letter and the other letters to the churches of Revelation? And we're going to discover that Jesus Christ said some very strong, harsh things to the church. Harsh because they were warnings about disobedience. And in this age of tolerance, in this age where anything goes, what we need to do is to get on our knees and read again the words of Jesus. Join us next time as we learn together.
That was Erwin Lutzer talking about a church that lost its first love. This is message number 2 in the series, What Jesus Thinks of His Church, taken from Revelation chapter 2. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. What Jesus Thinks of His Church probes our motivations for serving the Lord. And this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.